Now, there's one other thing that I need to mention at the present time. There is no particular easy way to say it, but I have decided to retire from the full-time ministry of the church. That doesn't mean that we won't endeavour to be active members of the church, but simply to retire from that capacity of being a pastor and teacher in the church. That will take effect after the worship next Lord's Day. So as I say, there's no easy way to do that. We feel in the will of the Lord, it's the time that it should be done. We're coming up to 69, that's our royal we, and being in the Lord's full-time service for 41 years and pastor and teacher in this church for, I think, 31 years, something like that. So simply we feel that it's the right thing to do in the will of the Lord. Now, as we continue in our sermons in Matthew's Gospel, turning again this morning to chapter 7, and we'll read that same portion from last week. That's verses 1 to 12 of the chapter. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning again to read at verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again, and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Amen. This week in our sermons in Matthew's Gospel, we come to another set of the Saviour's words, which are still recognisable in the hearts and minds of some, even in these days in which we live. It's when our Lord tells these people that he was preaching to at that time, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and so on. Last week, in the course of our sermons, in this part of the Word of God to our souls, we looked at those words of the Saviour, where our Saviour tells us, Judge not, that ye be not judged. And towards the end of our sermon for last week, we said that these present words of the Saviour that we come to this morning have a very real connection with those preceding words of the Saviour that we looked at last time, where he sets before us this business of judging, or rather this particular aspect of the business of judging. Bear in mind, you remember, that when our Lord speaks these words to these people and says, Judge not that ye be not judged, we're to bear in mind what he is not saying as well as what he is saying. And with regards to what he is not saying, not for one minute is he saying that we are not to make judgments in the course of our life, enter into value judgments or the process of judging with regards to everything and many things that come upon us. He's not saying anything like that whatsoever. Every day that we live with regards to a dozen and one issues of our life, we are called to make value judgments. We weigh up the situation. we gather together the facts and the findings, and then in the light of that, we make a judgment with regards to the facts and the findings. And it's exactly the same when it comes to our spiritual life in the world. And as we saw, even in the setting of these words that the Savior spoke at that time, he is in fact telling us to make value judgments about certain things. Verse 6, and they are vivid words, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Or in verse 15 have we read on, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. When our Lord says, judge not that ye be not judged, he's not speaking about those right judgments that we are to make in the course of our life generally or spiritually. He's speaking about the wrong judgments that we can make in the course of our life, which we pass on the heads of others and which ultimately come and rest on our own heads at the end of the day. And as we said, in all the life of faith that God has given us to live in his Son, we must never confuse those two words that our Savior spoke. The same Savior who says, judge not that ye be not judged, is the same Savior who says, judge righteous judgment. And because the devil has confused those two things, then the devil has had a heyday in the thinking of some professing Christians, so that it comes to the point where you mustn't criticize anything, you mustn't judge anything, so that heresy runs rampant and you've got all kinds of irreverence and wrong behavior in the churches of Jesus Christ. As we say, so of course, in making a righteous judgment, then it has to be a righteous judgment indeed, one that is arrived at not in accordance with what the eye sees, but in accordance with what the Word of God says. And if you read those verses where our Lord speaks about judging with a righteous judgment, it's in chapter 7, read it sometime, and he says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And he says that where he has just opened up the word of the living God before those people at that time in Jerusalem. So in these verses in Matthew, don't confuse them with other words that the Lord says about judging righteous judgment. He's not speaking about righteous judgment or right judgment. He's speaking about unrighteous judgments and wrong judgments. Well, what is it then that Christ is speaking about? That's what he's not speaking about. What is it that he is speaking about? And let me just repeat the words from last week. He's speaking about that spirit or that person or that time in any of our lives when we can major on minors, where we take up the position of being fault finders with others or nitpickers who see something in a person's life which they think deserves censure or criticism and deserves no such thing whatsoever. In the light of that other set of words goes without saying, the Lord says, judge righteous judgment. And there are those times where there is verifiable sin or blatant sin in a person's life, and we are to judge that sin or those sins. But you see, the important thing is this. Our Lord Jesus Christ isn't speaking about sins. He's speaking about specks. He's speaking about specks in people's eyes. And it's that behavior that sees a speck in somebody's eye as they see it and undertakes to remove the speck, the mote, as the Lord puts it. You see, it becomes so big in that person's life that they can't rest until they see that speck dealt with that is in their brother's eye. And the reason why it appears so big, of course, in that person's eye is because they've got a great big plank of wood sticking out of their own eye. A laughable situation, my friends. And it's one of those occasions where our Lord Jesus Christ, which he does very often, he invites us to laugh at ourselves before we become a laughing stock in the eyes of others. Christ often ministered with that kind of irony in the course of his ministry. Of course, it's a laughable picture. It was really not a laughable situation. And when the Saviour comes to apply it then in verse 5 of the chapter, he says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." When you read the Saviour's words, my friends, it will be to our good to learn to account ourselves as fools at times in our own eyes rather than hypocrites in the Lord's eyes. Don't you see the picture he's painting? Here is this man who's going to perform this delicate piece of eye surgery on another person's eye, while all the time he's got this great big plank of wood sticking out of his own. Now, this is Christ. You got a whole Christ in your life. Not a Christ of your imagination, but the Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit of God in the Holy Word of God from beginning to, because any other Christ is idolatry, a Christ of our own making. And here is Christ, my friends, and he's speaking about this man going to do, as I say, this delicate piece of eye surgery. He can't even get near the man to perform it because there's a plank sticking out of his eye. And our Lord's telling us to have a look at ourselves when it comes to judging with wrong judgment. But then comes the danger. And that's where the man with the speck in his eye begins to point out the beam in his critic's eye. You see, when our Lord says, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." And ultimately, he's speaking about that judgment seat of Christ before which we shall all stand. But he's also reminding us of a fact of human behavior, namely, that when you begin to tell others about their specks, they will begin to tell you about your planks. And then comes the riot. And our Lord Jesus Christ is preaching to those who profess to be his. My friends, Christ is so patient. And in this part of his Sermon on the Mount, you see, he's inviting us to see ourselves not only as others see us at times, but as God sees us all the time. "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." And then comes the picture, the laughable picture. Well, in the light of all of that, let's move on to these verses for this morning, where the Lord speaks about asking and seeking and knocking. Well-known words, I'm sure, to most of us within these walls this morning. Words that can be used and are used and rightly used so often in the preaching of the gospel to men and women's hearts and minds, as far as the terms of receiving the gospel into their souls is concerned. But words that apply to those who have already received the gospel and as we are to go on living before the Lord our God who has granted that receiving of the gospel to us. Most assuredly then, you see, they have a tremendous word of application to our souls in the light of the words that Christ has just spoken. They're not isolated words. They belong to this section of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And whether we're thinking in terms of a person coming to Christ in the first place, or continuing with Christ all the days of our life thereafter, our Lord's words are addressed to a man or a woman or a young person with regards to a felt need. Now you see that, don't you? If you ask for something, or if you seek for something, all of that is in connection with a felt need that you have in your life. You ask for what you need. We do that constantly in the course of our life. And when we come to look at the words of the Saviour in the setting before men and women, with regards to the terms of the gospel of a person's salvation forevermore, the thing that is uppermost in that person is a felt need. They need a Saviour. They need salvation. They need forgiveness. Well, for those people, the Lord can rightly say, and it can be rightly applied to them, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But no less so, my friends, all the days of our life thereafter. For our Lord is still addressing those who are his, who have God as their Father in heaven above. And you see, one danger is this, that whereas you may take a portion of the Word of God and rightly use it in the preaching of the gospel concerning the terms of the gospel, don't lose out its original setting. And in this place, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about those who are his and who would show themselves to be his, who have their Father in heaven above. And it's to us, my friends, as professing Christians, that the Lord says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And what he's telling us to do, you see, surely is this. As with all, he's telling us to come before him with what we feel we need. Now, not simply on account of our feelings in and of themselves, because feelings can be very deceptive things, but how we are meant to feel in the light of these words that he has just spoken about judging wrongly in a person's life. You read through the Bible, you'll find a good many people who felt great when they shouldn't have felt great at all. You remember the man in the temple? I thank God that I'm not like other men. I felt great. He had no right to feel great. Remember the Lord's apostle Peter? Though all men be offended because of thee, I'll never be offended. Felt great. Had no right to feel great. Because he was flying in the face of the words that Christ had said, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And Peter said, not me. That doesn't apply to me. And he felt great as he puffed out his chest and thought he was different from everybody else. And my friends, we ask in the back of a felt need. And when you read these words of the Saviour, my friends, shouldn't we all feel our need as we read about the man with the plank sticking out of his eye? And as the Saviour goes on and speaks in the way that he does, he's setting before us an open invitation to ask for what we should really feel as our need in living as we ought to do as his people. We ask for many things. We may ask for many things, countless things. We've got freedom and liberty to do that all the days of our life. We ask for grace. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for endurance. Whatever it is that we stand in need of and feel that we stand in need of in the light of God's word to our souls, we can ask for those things. We need to ask for them. You take a word like that, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. How am I to understand those words? How am I to apply those words in the course of my life? They're Christ's words. And how much understanding and discernment and wisdom you need for endeavouring to apply the words of Christ in the course of our lives. The Apostle James, you remember, virtually takes up the words of the Saviour in his epistle. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wisdom. You see, wisdom is different from knowledge. I think sometimes people get that mixed up. In knowledge, you can know the Word of God. That's what knowledge is. Wisdom is applying the Word of God to the issues of our life. Way back in the book of Proverbs, you have what you might call an Old Testament equivalent to this man who had a plank sticking out of his eye. He's referred to as a man who was wise, but it says wise in his own conceits. And so says the word, sayest thou, a man wise in his own conceits, there is more hope of a fool than of him. You see, until he gets the plank out of his eye, he's never going to be able to do things as he is. A hopeless case until he gets the beam out of his own eye. And as I say, when our Lord follows on with this gracious invitation, ask, it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, he's telling us to ask for what we feel or should feel we need. In every situation of life, and in this immediate situation that he has just been speaking about, we will never know our need or never feel our need until we give due heed to every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. The old issue, my friends, are we really biblical Christians? Do we apply the Bible in the way that we should to live as we ought? That's how the Christian life begins. Of course it does. These are the terms of entering the Christian and can be used like that. That's not how they're used initially when the Saviour uses them. He uses them towards those who are his, who need to ask and seek and knock for what they need in relation to what he has just said. A cardinal bit of behaviour when it comes to the professing life of faith. Let's just think a little about how the Christian life does begin in the light of the Saviour's words. And as you probably know, our Lord, in fact, uses the self-same words again in the Gospel of Luke, and he uses them in a very telling context. And he then, on the back of what he says, he then draws another one of these pictures, these priceless pictures that Christ was forever drawing. It's where the disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Lord, they say, teach us to pray. Now, it's in chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel. And on the back of that request, then, our Lord, in fact, repeats the words that he has already spoken in the Sermon on the Mount, those words that are usually referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And then in the light of that, it's in the light of that context where he draws a picture, and then he goes on to speak the selfsame words about asking and so on. Now, if you take up the reading in verse 5, And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He teaches them how to pray. After this manner, say, our Father which art in heaven. And then he goes on to, well, he teaches them what to pray, really, there, I suppose you would say. Then he goes on to teach them how to pray. And they're to pray as this man in the picture asked and sought and knocked. And again, my friend, a lovely one of these human pictures that our Savior spoke about. He has this man, and a friend comes on his journey. He has traveled through the cold hours of the night rather than the heat of the day. He arrives at midnight at this house of his friend. Problem is, his friend's got no food in the house, got no bread, got nothing to give him. So he gives to his neighbor and begins to knock on his neighbor's door and to ask him to give him three loaves of bread, three bread rolls, because this visitor has come and he's got nothing to give him. Now, here's this man, you see, and he's settled in for the night with his children. In fact, he says, my children are in bed with me. That would have been literal. You see, even in my days, before children, for the most part, had their own rooms, you crushed an awful lot of people into one bed. And certainly in those days, with one-roomed houses, they would all have settled down for the night literally in one bed, and their sleeping sheets pressed up against the door. And there comes this knock, knock, knock at the door. I bet the man didn't even let on he heard. But as the man keeps on knocking and keeps on asking, then from within says the man, go away. I'm in bed with my children. But he keeps knocking and he keeps knocking. Now, you all know the situation. We've all settled our children in for the night and they've just dropped off. And then somebody slams a car door, or they're wakened again, or a horn blower. We all love horn blowers. People that want to say night, night to their friends at 2 o'clock in the morning and pump the horn of their car. That's the kind of picture. Please, please, please get the Bible into its reality. Christ is speaking about a real situation because he's going to make a real application. And here's this man, didn't want to be bothered with the request of his friend. But he says, because his friend kept on in importunity, asking and knocking and telling what he needed, then says the Savior, his friend rose up and put the three loaves of bread into his hand. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It's an open invitation to ask for what we need. But we only ever truly know what we need by what God says. It's a felt need, but it's a felt need in accordance with God's word. When Christ has preached in the way that he has, my dear friends, if you don't feel a felt need, I certainly do. And if you're not prepared to ask God to fulfill that need, you've got a problem. you've got a problem. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's a big statement. And in the light of the picture where Christ says, have a good look at yourself. Once you do that, then you've got no difficulty in laying hands on the invitation. Ask. Ask. Does any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, and he'll give it. And please don't yank pieces of scripture out of their context. And before you assert anything, be prepared to back up your assertion with the fullness of the word of God to your soul. That's what the passage sets before us. You know, there's in the gospel, that's what a person needs. They need a felt need. They've got no righteousness, got no savior, got no hope. They are without God and without hope in the world. Got a desperate need, but until they see the need, they will never ask for the fulfilling of the need. Never ask for a savior. Never ask for forgiveness. And it's exactly the same with us, my friends, all the days of our life. Until we read God's word in its fullness to our souls, we'll never feel our need. And if we never feel our need, we'll never ask for the fulfilling of our need, whatever the need might be. You know, it's almost, you would say, a characteristic feature of the word of God that it's always asking us things so that we'll ask things of God. If you read through the Bible, you'll find that. It's a characteristic. A couple of weeks ago when we mentioned about the fowls of the air that God feeds and they don't have any barns to gather into, we cited that well-known parable about the man with his barns. And it's in the light of that that Christ spoke about the fowls that had no barns. And this man who could think of nothing else but getting new barns. And you know the parable well. And when it says the Lord came that night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then came the aggravating question. And then, who shall those things be that thou hast provided? God is asking that man a question. He's not saying that he wasn't to provide for those that were following after, because then, again, in the light of the word of God, he would have been worse than an infidel. But he's asking them to weigh up, is he not bartering his soul for these few things that he's not even going to possess beyond the hours of that night? Whose shall those things be? You know how our Lord said in another time, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He's asking some, so that in response, we ask in the light of what he asks. Here's a powerful word. If you're unconverted, my friend, here's a powerful word. Why will ye die? Turn ye at my reproof, for why will ye die? Now, it doesn't simply mean that your body's going to die. It means, why will you die, as the Savior said, in your sins? Here's a reproof. And in the light of that proof, turn at my reproof. And here's the question. Why will you die? You're going to die. Normal run of things, we're all going to die. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, why will you die unforgiven in your sins. When he says, why will you die? Of course, clearly implied within that, you need not die in your sins, because he has provided a savior from our sins. Here's another one. What wilt thou say when God shall punish thee? Again, there's no question that God punishes, no more than there's any question about dying. But why will you die in your sins? That's a question. And what will you say when he punishes you? That's another question. You see, God and Christ and the Word of God is always asking questions of us. Listen to how that word's put. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his evil, asking, what have I done? You see, there was a lack of asking on the part of those people at that time, and because they never asked, they never received. I hearkened and heard. You get that picture? Where God is inclining his ear, as it were, to the heart and the mouth of those people and saying, I waited for you to ask for what you needed, and you never did it. Ask, and it shall be given you. My dear friends, in order that we do that, God is always asking things of us, asking questions from us, so that when we respond to the question that's presented to us, he responds to our asking. You remember throughout the going forth of the gospel in those early days, how there were those who learnt to ask, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They were asking. Sirs, what must we do to be saved? Brethren, what shall we do? They weren't disappointed when they asked, because they were told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You never get the answer until you ask the question. And when God sets many, many questions before us, it's so that we learn to ask for what we need and come into the graciousness of the promise that we receive it. So the Christian life begins with asking, and it goes on with asking all our life thereafter. So just to close, but simply to take in the totality of the words that Christ is setting before us in these verses in Matthew. Judge not that ye be not judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Then comes the illustration. The illustration, my friends, where Christ is virtually poking fun at us with regards to our behavior at times. It's not funny. Thou hypocrite, go and take the beam out of your own eye before you become an eye surgeon for others. And what should it do to us, that kind of a picture, if we have ears to hear, my friends? And assuredly, one of the things that it should do for us, it should create a felt need within our souls with regards to this particular piece of business in our life. And so the Lord gives the invitation for the felt need. ask, and it shall be given you. Great gospel word for any unconverted people with regards to the terms of receiving the gospel, but a great practical word for the converted, as we're called to live all our life, ever asking, my friends, ever asking, ever conscious that we have needs in our lives, lack of wisdom, discretion, charity, love, endless things that we stand in need of, steadfastness, all the things that we need. In this place, Christ is speaking about one thing, but all the things that we need. And then, of course, he rounds off the whole total context in that verse 12 of the chapter. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Wouldn't it have been great to have sat that day on the mountainside and had a good laugh at ourselves as Christ painted the picture? Are you laughing? Because if you're not, you've missed the point.